Now joined by the voice of the UConn men's basketball program, Joe D'Ambrosio. Joe, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
How are things in Arkansas today?
About to be stormy, probably.
Really? That's so good.
Yeah, there's the threat of severe weather today and tomorrow, and I think there's the same threat maybe Thursday for Dallas. I don't know when you guys are flying in, probably tomorrow.
I'm flying in tomorrow, so that's good news.
Yeah, it might be a little bumpy.
That's right.
That's okay.
It's the Final Four, man. You put up with a little of that stuff.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And that's second hat for UConn. I think they lead the country since 99. Is this their fifth Final Four since 99?
Yes, it is. Fifth time since 99.
Joe, talk about this team, and obviously led by Shabazz Napier, the guard. But you guys, the Connecticut Huskies, the last team to defeat Florida in Gamble Pavilion on December the 2nd, 65-64, last-second shot by Shabazz Napier, and here you're going to meet Florida in the Final Four on Saturday.
Yeah, kind of ironic. You know, it's funny. They say the committee doesn't do things for a reason. I think that's kind of humorous, don't you think so?
Just a little.
You know, it's a game that I think, obviously, UConn thinks they can win. I don't think they would ever be overconfident, but because they were able – to play against this team so well the last time, I think they feel that if they play their game, they certainly will be right in it. I think they understand what Florida does. They also realize that Florida is a much better team, much healthier team than they were when they played the last time. So I think, you know, I think it all works. That part of it works in UConn's favor, but I also think to be honest with you, I think what works in Florida's favor is they've got the revenge factor.
Yeah, Shabazz Napier had 26 points in the game against the Gators back in December. For the Gators, Casey Prather with 19, Patrick Young 17, Scotty Wilbekin 15. What do you think the key is for the Huskies to defeat the Gators on Saturday?
Well, I think one thing, and people don't talk about this so much when they talk about Florida, they've got to be able to play Patrick Young really well. I think he's undervalued for how good he is for a big man. He knows how to play. And I think UConn's bigs, who are on the slender side, Amita Brima and Phil Nolan, really have to not let him take control of the game. They obviously can't let Frazier sit on the three-point line and shoot. He's knocked down more threes than any player in Florida history. They can't let Prather be and Finney Smith be slashers and take the ball to the hoop. And they have to try to contain Wilbekin. I don't know if you can slow him down the way he's playing. For them, he's as valuable as Napier is for UConn. But I think they have to contain Scotty Wilbekin.
Who's the other player, if it's Boatwright, if it's Daniels, besides Shabazz Napier, that you think is going to have to play a really good game?
Oh, I think Daniels has to be good. I think Daniels is always the X factor. I think when Daniels plays well, then I think that that UConn has a chance to be something special. He's played very well in the tournament. There's no question about it. But his ability to play well both ends of the floor. He did a great job against Brandon Dawson, who had been red hot for Michigan State on Sunday. His ability to play well at both ends of the floor is critical for UConn. And Boatwright has to continue to play well. He's been very good in the tournament, and he has to be really good again on Saturday night.
I saw Jim Calhoun at the game, and I know it was close by. Will he be there? What is his, I guess, relationship with the team still, and how's his health?
His health is great. That's why there's been rumors that he's thinking about getting back into coaching. He's a mentor to Kevin Ollie. He handpicked Ollie for his successor. There's some erroneous reports that he's around all the time, that he goes on all the trips. He doesn't go on all the road trips. He's not even at all the home games. He's at most of them because he's an athletic department employee. He's a great sounding board for Kevin, but Ollie is his own man. And, you know, when Ollie wants advice, he can talk to him. He can talk to D. Rowe, who was a coach here in the late 60s and early 70s, and is a special advisor to the athletic department. You know, Jim's around. Jim recruited, you know, Napier and Niels Gafai and Ryan Boatwright, DeAndre Daniels, Tyler Olander, Omar Calhoun. Those are all Calhoun recruits. But it's Kevin Ollie's team. There's no question about that.
Joe D'Ambrosio joins us. He's the voice of UConn Husky basketball here on Overtime. Joe, the road to get to Dallas or North Texas, Arlington, whatever you want to call it, in between Dallas and Fort Worth for the UConn Huskies, it started out with an overtime game against St. Joe's.
Well, they were down 3 points with 45 seconds to go, and it looked like they might be in a little bit of trouble. But Amita Brima, their 7-footer, who has gotten much, much better as the season has gone on, hit an old-fashioned 3-point play to force the game into overtime. And then UConn, which was really good in overtime a year ago, took control of the game in that session. And, you know, they were off and running after that. And, you know, I thought, guys, that St. Joe's would be a tougher game for them than Villanova, and that turned out to be the case.
When you look at the Final Four this year, two teams from the SEC, and maybe, yes, top to bottom, the SEC is not one of the best leagues in college basketball, but from the outside looking in as an outsider, your thoughts on SEC basketball this year?
I certainly everybody respects Florida. They respect Kentucky. I think, you know, the people in Tennessee who were woofing at Conzo Martin are morons. You know, I mean, Bruce Pearl wasn't coming back there. I think Martin's done a terrific job. I mean, I didn't get to see the game, obviously, on Friday because we were playing at the same time, but it sounds like they gave Michigan a hell of a run. You know, I think the SEC suffers, guys, because everybody wants it to be as good as SEC football is. It's not bad. It's not as good as some of the conferences in college basketball, but, you know, you go to the top teams in that league, and you know, those teams are as good as anybody. You could have an all-SEC final.
I agree with you with Quanzo Martin. I think he's a good coach there. I don't know. I don't understand it, I guess. When will UConn – will they leave? Have they already left?
They're already there.
Okay.
I'm just back here doing some things at my radio station in Hartford. They left last night. They practiced there today. There's press conferences starting on Thursday. Things get going a day earlier these days at the Final Four. We'll roll in on Thursday night and go to the press conferences on Friday and try to stay out of harm's way on Friday night to get ready for the game on Saturday.
Yeah, it should be an exciting one. The thought of playing in such a huge facility like AT&T Stadium there in Dallas, Florida actually played there last year in the regional final.
Yeah.
The Sweet 16 against FG, Florida Gulf Coast University, FGCU, and then losing to Michigan in the regional final. Do you think that maybe Florida has a little bit better feel for the atmosphere?
It might, but when we were down opening our conference season in Houston and Dallas, we stayed in Texas over New Year's, and the team went to AT&T Stadium 2 days before they played SMU. Kevin Ollie, our coach, is a Dallas native, and he's a huge Cowboys fan. And he took the team there just so they could get a feel and kind of as a motivational thing. Everybody, you know, chortled and said, well, we'll never get back there. Well, you know, now they're back there, so it's pretty good.
When do you think the season turned for UConn basketball?
I think the AAC tournament, they had gotten whooped by Louisville by 33 in the final game of the regular season. But then they beat Memphis, who they've beaten three times this year, and then won a tough game from Cincinnati. And I think that gave them a lot of confidence that they could possibly do something. And then, to be honest with you guys, the bracket broke their way. I mean, getting to win two games in Buffalo and then go to Madison Square Garden where there are 8,000, 9,000 people on hand for the UConn games, you know, I think that was an edge, but they had to earn that.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And obviously the extra train from Hartford on the regional final didn't hurt the attendance either.
No, it did not. No, it did not.
When you look at Shabazz Napier and the list of guards, I would say really, you know, Rip Hamilton, Ben Gordon, Kimball Walker, that have been through UConn, where does he rank in your opinion of great UConn point guards?
Well, to be honest with you guys, the way he's played this year, I mean, if he ever finishes this off, he might have, and again, this is just my opinion, this might be the greatest year of a guard in UConn history if he can lead this team to the national championship. Even if he doesn't, fellas, it's been one of the best years any guard has had in UConn history just for the things that he's done.
Joe,
I was going to say, how have you seen him grow? I love watching his game, and we did an updated top 10, I guess, NBA draft rankings. We didn't see his name in there. I still think he's a first round pick. How have you seen him grow, and what do you think he needs to work on?
Well, he's matured greatly in the 4 years that he's been here. He's become a terrific leader. He can facilitate, or he can take over a game. And you know, I see those NBA draft lists too. And you know, that's all well and good. I'm sure there's a couple of guys from overseas who nobody's ever seen, who they say is going to be the next thing since sliced bread. I think Napier is a winner, and I think that's appealing to NBA teams. I don't think he's a lottery pick. I think even if they win the national championship, he's not a lottery
pick. Right, yeah.
But I think he's a first-round pick. If he's not, you know, then there's something wrong with the system in my mind.
Right now, NBADraft.net has Shabazz Napier, 28, going to Phoenix.
That would be a good fit.
That would be a perfect fit for him. Are you kidding? Yeah. I think that would be great.
I think it would, too. Joe, one more question for you. UConn basketball, not just men's, but the women's side is, too. Talk about what Gino Auriemma is doing for the women's program.
He does what he's done since he took over in 1985. They are a dominant team. They have five players who have been picked for the AP All-American team, one first team, two second team, two honorable mention. They've got a winning streak of, I think it's 44 in a row now. They'll play Stanford in the on Sunday and Nashville in the national semifinals. You know, and if lightning strikes and UConn can win, the men can win two games and the women will win two. UConn's the only school in history to win both the men's and women's in the same year. I was lucky enough to be doing both games back then, so I had a first-class seat for that phenomenon. And if they did that this year, you know, I think you could pretty much take all the next week off in Connecticut.
Yeah, how was the travel back then when you would do the men's game, then the women's game, then back to the men's game?
You know what I found out, man? There's no direct flights between San Antonio and New Orleans. We stopped in Dallas each way. San Antonio, Dallas, New Orleans.
Wow.
New Orleans, Dallas, San Antonio. You know, yeah. I was a regular. I was going to subscribe to the morning news. I was reading it every day.
Well, you're going to be flying over Arkansas on your way to Dallas, and we say thanks for coming on, and good luck to the Huskies.
You know, it's one of the few states I've never been in. I've got friends there. Guys, great job. Thank you for the time. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
You bet.